Hey, everybody. Thanks for checking out the podcast. Before we get to my guest this week, I want to put a few things in perspective for you. Apparently, according to Donald Trump, Dr. Fauci, a national treasure, is an idiot and is overrated and a disaster. Jeffrey Toobin, the legal analyst for CNN and The New Yorker, was caught masturbating on a Zoom call with coworkers. Now, I got to be honest with you. I like Zoom, but not that much. And Donald Trump is telling people that it was a blessing that he got COVID and not to worry about it and don't let it dominate your life. Well, that got me really upset because I've had COVID for over 3 months. I'm still dealing with a lot of ailments from it. It is not fun. You don't want to get it. It does dominate your life. You don't really have a choice. I did a CBS Sunday morning commentary about it. You can check it out on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/PaulMercurio. If you agree with it and you like it, please send it around. It's an important message. I did it because it's important for people to know what it's really like to have COVID and not listen to Trump, who's saying, is telling lies about it just so people don't worry about it and think that everything's fine and vote for him to get back in. He doesn't care about you, doesn't care about me. If you're a Trump supporter and you like his policies, fine. I don't have an agenda politically, but you can't tell people that getting this virus is no big deal. It is. I have it, and it's a real problem, and I am healthy going into this thing, so it has nothing to do with pre-existing conditions for me. So check it out, youtube.com/PaulMercurio, and again, it's the CBS Sunday Morning Commentary. You can send that around, share it on social media with your friends, email, whatever, and I would not masturbate on Zoom calls if I were you. And that could be problematic because other people can see you. All right. My guest this week, Erin Brockovich. Really admire her advocacy. Wanted to get her on. Really interesting conversation with her. And she tries to lead us in terms of how you or I could be an advocate regarding the environment or other issues. So glad to have her on. Hope you enjoy that. And please grab my CBS Sunday Morning Commentary, check it out, and if you like it and agree with it, please send it around. It's an important message that everybody hear. Thanks. Hey, folks, welcome to the show. My guest this week, environmental activist, consumer advocate. She has a new book out, Superman's Not Coming, Erin Brockovich. Great to have you on the show, Erin. I've wanted to talk to you for a long time.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So the book is described as sort of an activist version of teaching a man to fish, in other words, empowering and teaching the average taxpayer citizen to fight City Hall, if you will. And there are tools in there that they can use, which I want to talk about in a minute. But I'm curious, is it hard to convince people to take on Goliath? People, maybe including myself, just feel like, you know, you can't beat City Hall. How hard of that is that to do? Or is it difficult to do once they feel empowered?
It's the latter there. It's not that difficult to do once they feel empowered, but it is for me through my career and how the title Superman evolved isn't coming. It is because of my work and being in the field and seeing the looks on their faces when they're like, well, wait a minute, why? I would have thought clearly on a water issue like this that an agency or somebody wouldn't have allowed this to happen. And I'm like, yep, nope, Superman's not coming. But you're here. We are in a world, we're watching it happen, where we're now going to see the consumer become the regulator. You know, you're going to see the citizen scientist. And there's been, even in all these communities, and it happened to me and probably why I bucked it so very early on, even in Hinckley, I was told, well, you're not a doctor. You don't have a PhD. Therefore, you really, you know, what do you know? And I'm always perplexed by that, and I want to give that power back to the people. Well, frankly, you know a lot when you're living and seeing two-headed frog and green water and animals covered with tumors that maybe something isn't right.
Right. Right.
Once I have this conversation with communities, and I will tell you, this isn't to knock men out of this conversation by any stretch of the imagination, but it's always a mom that's like, right? I thought that thing. And then you'll see the next mom go, right? And then the next mom will bring up some health issue. And then the other two moms will go, oh my gosh, my kid has the same problem. And at that point, I realized, they're going to activate. And that's where change begins. Oftentimes, we think, we, the everyday citizen, that because we don't have some credential, we couldn't learn it, we shouldn't speak about it or anything else. We're going to watch the consumer become the regulator. You're going to watch citizen science evolve. It's been there, but that voice has been intimidated to really speak up. And that's what happens in communities every time. And we share that with you in the book, whether it be Hannibal or Tonganoxie, Kansas, or a waterkeeper. Yes, it was a man up in Poughkeepsie, New York. Through the power of own observation and your own set of skills to know something's up, get a little more information. Knowledge is power. You'll keep digging, and you can turn your curiosity, your frustration, and your anger into action. And that's where we can make change at a local level, as opposed to just hoping something from the top works its way to us.
Well, I mean, it's a really excellent point, and especially about men. We're a little slow on the uptake a lot of times. So moms have this, you know, my wife has you're very intuitive. My wife there's no other relationship like it. And you talk about moms, and you talk about it, the Hannibal, Missouri case, where there's a chloramine, which is a mixture of chlorine and ammonia in the water. And the locals and the moms started to speak up, and they had apparently the Hannibal Public Works had added chloramines into the water as a disinfectant on September 28th of 2015. But what struck me in reading about this a little bit more is that in 2013, the Missouri Department of Natural Resources said we'll have a 2-year extension on this, and then in 2015. They gave them 10 months to reduce the levels. And I'm reading this going, it should be happening immediately. Why does something like ammonia in the water, why would they move so slowly? What is that all about? And what did the moms do here? And it's particularly to move this to the point where it was, you know, a public knowledge, and then there was a proposition voted on it.
Well, one of the issues is, you know, these go on. So I'm glad you brought up chloramines, because it's used nationally. And if we change just that one thing, we could ease some of our burdens on the infrastructure and see less lead outbreaks and less Legionnaire. I think that's pretty good start. Hmm. And what happens is, let me start it this way. I have to say water is never a soundbite. You know, I can never say what I need to say in a quick moment, because water is a story, and it's really all of our stories. Water 101, organic matter exists in all water. It's dirt. It's just dirt. Mm-hmm. And when it comes into the municipal system, we chlorinate so we don't have E. coli, you know, different bacterial outbreaks in the water. What people don't know, and it's actually fascinating, that when organic matter and chlorination meet, they create a very toxic compound called trihalomethanes, which, by the way, is really highly regulated by the Safe Drinking Water Act, because it's a toxic compound. Mm-hmm. And the rules state when you don't follow the system to control your THMs, you have to put on the appropriate filtration system, and it's usually a granular activated carbon system. But we tend to have a way of wanting to shortcut the system, right? Cheat the system, if you will, maybe, and go the cheap route. So instead of doing what they should do, they're adding ammonia to the system, which creates another problem. Water reacts to every different chemical you put into the water. So adding ammonia now with chlorination causes all kinds of problems. The ammonia can sequester the effectiveness of chlorination. And if we aren't chlorinating properly, here comes bacterial outbreaks, more Legionnaire, which is a water-borne disease, not air. And from there, it can become corrosive to the distribution system. And because we don't see it, or we assume, and again, when I say assume, it is no put down on any of us. Because I've found myself many times in a situation, I'm like, I would have thought that, but that's not what's going on. And so the distribution system is miles and miles of pipes that get from the municipality to your tap, your water, is unregulated. What goes on in there is, A, it's fascinating, and at the same time, scary scenario. So if you've now got corrosive water and you have lead pipes, it causes the iron, the manganese, and lead to precipitate out of the pipes because it's corrosive and it's corroding the pipes. And that's precisely what happened in Hannibal. And unbeknownst to them, because oftentimes you don't see or smell lead. And one thing that we have to look in all of this is antiquated policies that were established decades ago that don't work today. The lead and copper rule, if we're going to talk about ammonia in the system, lead in the water, Flint taught us all a lot. The lead and copper rule states you only have to test for lead once every 4 years, and you can average your samples. So if you do that, you make it almost impossible to find out what the actual lead levels are. And so they had very high lead levels in Flint. And because a report had come out and a mother had seen this, here comes a phone call to me. So once we got in and began to inform them and educate them about what was happening, the light bulb came on. And they were like, oh, hell to the no. Our kids aren't going to have lead. We all know what lead and water and lead does to people. And they activated. They made it their job to understand. One of them ran for city council. She won. And here's this other thing that we think, and this is such an important message. And when I started my work in Hinckley, I was always told, you're not a doctor. You're not a lawyer. You're not a scientist. You don't have a PhD. You didn't get the Nobel Prize. What do you know? And I was awestruck by that. And I'm like, because I don't have to be any of that to be human and to tell you that two-headed frog in green water is wrong.
Right.
And this is where mom and that guttural instinct kicks in and it's like, no, not going there. And this is where I say this citizen scientist exists and has very valuable information that oftentimes isn't taken in, that falls through the crack. And then we don't find the numbers. And this is why it's so important. But this is what happened in Hannibal. And sure enough, right there in their own backyard. Now, another important thing is once you embark on this, you've got to come in knowing you're going to have setbacks. You're going to feel frustrated. If you are, take a break for a moment. But get back in that game because it is that persistence that these communities have that gets them ultimately where they are. And they can make effective change. Adding ammonia to the system has got to be something national we really need to look at. And we encourage, and we talked to you in Poughkeepsie, New York. Same thing happened up there. And what that water operator did was amazing, following observation and instincts. If we could begin to remove that one process, as I said earlier, we would help reduce a failing infrastructure system. Mm-hmm. We would have less lead contamination and less lead Legionnaire outbreak. That's one thing. But if we're going to wait for something from the top to fix this, we're going to be waiting a long time. So we're activating communities across the country.
You know, it's you're right, because we're seeing right now at the top that you can't trust the people at the top when it comes to COVID. And it doesn't, you know, you have people, you have your president saying it affects virtually. I have COVID. I have COVID because I went to Florida and I performed a stand up and they weren't wearing masks and it wasn't mandated. And so as a result of the politicalization of this issue, I got COVID, my son got COVID, and his girlfriend got COVID. And I live in New York. So one of the things that struck me about this is it harder to affect change these days? Because it seems more than ever, science is being ignored, manipulated, denied, whether it's climate or whether it's COVID. It's, you know, there is a large group of people. I mean, the CDC is being manipulated. No one thought that could be. Is it harder to affect change these days, or at the local level, is it at least a little easier? Are there fewer deniers? What's the experience like? How has it changed over the years since you started doing this?
It's definitely changed a lot because the issue is now in everyone's backyard. So, you know, we live in our, and I don't this is not disrespectful, but all of us live in our bubble. And I mean, I live in my area.
Sure.
And we always think or read in the paper that this happened over there, but it would never be you, right?
Right.
But it's starting to happen everywhere. And again, in the book, we show you, because it's community after community after community, that they're realizing, well, you know, I'm going to have to do something, or they don't want to wait. I'm actually more hopeful right in this moment than I think I've been in a long time. Because
really?
I think that there's a wake up. Yeah, I think there's a wake up call has happened. And it's now affecting all of us. And we're seeing it.
A wake up call regarding environmental issues coming out of COVID science deniers. Where is that wake up call?
Because there's so much, and I don't always say it's misinformation. Sometimes it is, but oftentimes there's good information in it. It's an inconsistent message that is becoming really frustrating. Wait a minute, you said this, because we're oftentimes underestimated. Just honestly, we the people are oftentimes underestimated.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And I think our frustration is that because so many issues are now everywhere and affecting every one of us, mm-hmm. that we're deploying our natural responses. And that's why I'm saying that we're in a moment where the consumer will now become the regulator, that the citizen scientist has now emerged. They've always been there. But because they are experiencing it, and now they realize their neighbors are experiencing it, and now they realize, well, this wasn't a problem just in our town in this state, but it was the same problem in another town in another state. Now they're networking with that group. They're becoming empowered,
yeah.
And they're starting to rise up and speak out. And we need to have the tools to know how to fight this effectively. But it can be done. And the first trigger has to happen that you, as the individual, realize, wait a minute, I do know what's going on. I can understand this. I can learn that. Again, this is that mom across America that has eyes in the back of her head and knows when her kid is lying. Mm. And we're tapping into that. And we too can be a part of this process, whether we got comfortable or complacent. Mm-hmm. And maybe we did. I think we are waking up to real issues. I've seen this form and happen over several decades in my work within these communities. And I just think that moment is here. We've got great technology. It is empowering us to find faster and information way quicker. We'll see one story, read another. We can start reading between the lines. It's really important that we're able to do that, because when you have to protect yourself and your family. And if we're going to talk about water, right at your very own tap. Okay, let's just start there. There's ways for you to do that. Mm-hmm. And so I do feel hopeful, because we're waking up to a lot of issues. We're frustrated, and we're gonna work our way through this. I truly, truly believe that. But what I'm inspired by is I think that we as the citizens are starting to find our voices, where things have slid through the crack, wanting to get the information, not taking it for granted that just something magically is going to fix something for us, but rather it will take us getting involved as well.
Yeah, and you're a trailblazer and a pioneer in empowering people. I say to my wife all the time, she's like, maybe because I'm Italian, but I'm a little more confrontational than she is. And I say I'm the guy that always has to speak to the manager, like I'm that guy. And I sent you probably are too. You need people like that, because I do think people think, you know, I think the politicians especially want to treat us like children. It's like, give us your vote and then pat us on the head and send us on our way and let the big smart people do all the work. And I'm wondering if you find that money is the root of all evil in a lot of these situations. Regarding Hannibal, you actually said, this is a quote of yours, if I was sitting there, do you need us to increase your water by $5 a month because we have to follow regulations to make sure your water is safe? Or do you want us to take a risk with chloramines? Do you find a lot of the time that these decisions that are made or science that's ignored is driven by the dollar, saving money, not wanting to spend money, whatever it might be?
Correct.
Yeah.
Greed and fear. greed and fear every time. And, you know, Flint, look, Hinckley taught us all about, you know, a corporation hiding information and poisoning a groundwater system and the people. We learned in Flint that our agencies, our own agencies, all the way to the governor knew. These things are huge socks in the gut to the people. And greed, because they switched river waters to save a dollar. And then somebody gets afraid. Oh, we effed up, right? And now they're going to start hiding. And we do. And this is something we has to stop. I mean, and this is, again, why we wrote Superman's Not Coming. Because and by the way, this is about water, but this could be applied to almost everything that we do. When you see a problem where you've got a sense that one exists, stay with that. Know when you come into the game, you're going to get knocked around. And if you do, fine, but get back up. And as you pull back the layers, you kind of get to the core issue. It's never just that surface issue. And in water, it's misappropriation of funds. They've misspent their bond money. They don't have money. They've gotten certain directions from the agencies. Then the direction changes courses. Now they have to reduce the level. They don't have the filtration system. Now they don't have the money. Somebody knew what was going on. They didn't want to say anything. And if we would think infrastructure, safety, and people on the upfront, and not kick that can down the end of the line and decades later spend billions of dollars to fix our mistake, we'd be a whole lot better off. So this is why I say, in some regards, how we run things, I think, is really ass backwards.
Yeah.
And it's almost a no-brainer for me.
Yeah.
But we may be waking up to that.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, listen, it is, it's great to have you on, and let's get you back on and talk, and congratulations on the book, and kudos to you for the advocacy. You're very important to us. We need people like you out there. So keep it going.
Well, we're out here. Thank you so much. And I will tell you, it's never I, it's always a we.
Yeah.
And when people, knowledge is power. And when they get it, what they do, and I share that with you in the book, is nothing short of true inspiration. We, the citizen, we can still change things. I know we can.
Well, we need that optimism right now. Well, best of luck. And the book is Superman's Not Coming. Aaron, great to have you on. Take care.
Thank you. Take care.
All right, there you go. That's Aaron Brockovich. Really great to have her on. She's doing important stuff and really interesting. And I love how engaged she is. Please check out my YouTube channel, youtube.com/PaulMercurio, if you want to check out that CBS Sunday morning commentary I did about COVID. And appreciate you tuning in. We'll see you next week, everybody.